The following program is an MLWRadio.com production.
Welcome to Total Engagement, bonus episode, just to cover all the craziness, because apparently the sky fucking fell and hit the wrestling world on the head today. Of course, Total Engagement is brought to you on the MLW Radio Network and partners up with our high-powered friends over at WrestleZone.com, which is my favorite website, but also the world's most read wrestling website. And today we're going to talk about Paul Heyman and Eric Bischoff. And to do that, I got on a controversial person on his own, Mr. Brad Shepherd. Brad Shepherd is a self-proclaimed WWE insider. It's getting more and more evident that self-proclamation might be pretty accurate because he's the guy who broke the XFL story out of the blue. No one saw that coming. And also, he's had some really interesting nuggets of news that have turned out to be true over the last few months. So Brad Shepherd's going to be on, and we're going to talk about that. Couple things going on. I'm going on vacation next week, but I'm going to do a show. I'm not missing any more shows. A couple things have gone on. Number one, check out the FRM Pod, at FRM Pod on Twitter, but most importantly, listen to it. It's called Front Row Material, and it is my friend Mike Freeland, who is the host, but the talent is Mr. Jerry Lynn and Mikey Whipwreck. They had me on their show, and it's going to be coming out next week. So check that out, dude. I'm a fan like you, but I want to try to ask questions other fans want to hear. So I've kind of figured if I want to know it, you guys want to know it too. So I had Jerry Lynn and Mikey Whipwreck, and I kind of took the show over a little bit. You know, sorry, Mike Freeland, but I just had to ask any question I ever wanted to ask them. And it was a lot of fun, and make sure to check it out and check out their podcast anyway. They're MLW partners. You know, they're on the same network as us, and they're very funny, very crazy, insanity. Really, it's bedlam. But we talked a lot of wrestling. Also, hey, do me a favor, guys. Make sure to follow Samu. You probably remember Samu. He's one of the Inouye/Fatu wrestling family. He was in the Head Shrinkers. He was in the Samoan SWAT team. He has joined Twitter at Great Samu. So give him a follow. Also, check out his GoFundMe. He's been having some issues lately, some health issues. And donate if you can. It's a great cause. You know, we don't want these guys to kind of slip into not being remembered. And the guy just got on Twitter, and I'm just saying as a favor, go ahead and follow that guy because I remember when he was brought in to sub for Afonseca, and he is part of that family. He's part of that tradition, and he was part of some great tag teams. So make sure to follow him. But coming up now, Mr. Brad Shepherd. And after that, I am going to give you my locked in prediction and take on this entire matter. But first, Brad Shepherd on Total Engagement with me, Matt Coon, on the MLW Radio Network, powered by WrestleZone.com. Hey guys, joining us now is Brad Shepherd. You may know him for the Oh You Didn't Know wrestling show. He's also a writer at Pro Sports Extra, but he's kind of a much talked about wrestling insider these days. How's it going, Brad?
Doing well. How are you, Matt?
Excellent, excellent. And before we get to the big news, I want to talk a little bit about you, if that's okay. Is that all right?
Yeah, that's fine.
You've gotten a lot of pushback. You've gotten a lot of negativity. I think it's a tough business to break into, to say you're a wrestling insider. What's this experience like been for you, kind of starting to get involved in the wrestling news world?
Yeah, it's a great question. Actually, it's been really, really interesting. You know, this all kind of started when I broke the XFL return story, and I started to get really massive international attention. I mean, I had just sent out a tweet. I had the inside information, and went to bed and thought, well, that'll be the end of that. Maybe the people who follow me will see that and enjoy it, and, you know, I'll move on to something else. Obviously, it turned out much differently. I ended up getting a lot of attention out of that. It became a big sports story, and, you know, in fact, the XFL did return, and it was announced at the time I described. So it turned into this big ordeal, and it led to really a lot of the work I'm doing now. But being a WWE insider, kind of being in that in-between, you know, I'm not a wrestling journalist per se. I do have a wrestling podcast. I do a lot of sports writing. But I'm very much part of that community in wrestling, breaking news every week. And, you know, there's this, I would call it more of a mindset of, you know, who's established in the world of news in wrestling, the Dave Meltzers, so to speak. And, you know, there's a segment of the audience that believes if a Dave Meltzer doesn't agree with it, or if a Dave Meltzer hasn't heard that, then it can't possibly be true. So you end up getting a lot of pushback, and there's extremes on all different sides to engage in personal attacks. I mean, you know that just as well as I do. So right. It has ended up being very interesting, because to me, ultimately, at the end of the day, it's just pro wrestling, right? It's not life or death. This is entertainment. And so, you know, it's been a challenge for me to understand why people are so, you know, in some cases, so crazy about this.
You know, I started saying that it's only pro wrestling. And then I got some pushback from some wrestlers, some other people that didn't understand what I meant, meaning they thought it was kind of a insult, you know, that it's a not important thing. Who cares about wrestling? But I think the way you're framing it, it's the way I frame it, it's a fun hobby. It's a fun sport that we should enjoy. And actually, it's nothing we should ever get angry about, right?
Right. Absolutely.
So being a wrestling insider, and having the scoops and having the news, there is a lot of shady sites out there. There's a lot of cut and paste Meltzer sites. There's some people that guess shit. So how are you able to kind of rise above that? Is it just as simple as providing accurate stories?
Well, that's definitely a big part of it, is providing accurate stories and just letting people see your work over time. You're right. This is unique in wrestling, that there are a lot of, you know, people with fake profiles who claim to be insiders or have sources, which is, you know, probably in the sports world is kind of, you know, would be looked at as very ridiculous. But there is more of that, it seems, in wrestling. And I think you just kind of have to, you know, just be consistent with your work and let the cream rise to the top, so to speak.
Yeah, exactly. Be so good they can't ignore you, you know, is what I tell the kids I work with. And I think that's a good modus operandi. But we're here to talk about the gigantic news broken by Justin Barrasso right before it came out. It seems maybe someone leaked it. The news that Bischoff and Heyman have joined the WWE, or Heyman's role has been increased, and Bischoff has joined the WWE as the creative directors for the respective Raw and SmackDown brands. I have a few questions I just want to discuss with you. And first is, could this just purely be a symbolic move? Could this just be something to tell the fans things are different, and to tell the networks things are different, but really nothing's going to change?
Well, I do think there is some symbolism, and, you know, they're releasing it as public information, letting everybody know. Absolutely. I think that was to their benefit, and it was strategic. But at the end of the day, you know, for them to be successful in their roles, they have to have the ability, the freedom to do what they want to do, to see their vision out, so to speak, on Raw and SmackDown. I'm told they're going to be able to do that. I don't know to what degree. I guess we'll have to wait and see. But ultimately, if it's just two guys reporting to Vince and Vince saying, no, we're going to do, you know, gas masks and pooper scooper jokes. And, you know, if it's the same sort of thing we're seeing, then I don't see it necessarily changing to a significant degree. But if he's able to loosen the reins and let them, you know, push forward their creative vision, I think then we can see a difference. And I think, if you do release that information out to your audience, it's letting them know that there is a change coming. So it was to their benefit, for sure.
And as it stands right now, you're saying that the intent, the belief is that Bischoff and Heyman are going to work more or less more autonomously than people in the past have been able to work, as far as creatively.
Yeah, absolutely. That's what I'm being told. And, you know, I just say wait and see, because Vince is such a micromanager based on his history. So, you know, that's something he would have to adjust to, but certainly I think Paul Heyman and Eric Bischoff were excellent choices for this role and to be able to do something like that. So hopefully this is something where Vince can take a step back. He's got the XFL coming. He can't do it all.
Well, I mean, symbolically, you couldn't do any better, you know, than having Bischoff and
right.
Heyman come in.
Yep.
With one of the big questions people have, so let's say you're right, and that's what's going to happen, or that's the intent. Of course, we all know Vince is impulsive and can change directions, so you never know. But a question people have is Triple H. You know, I believe you reported that Triple H may have been offered one of these jobs, decided not to, maybe because you know, in my mind, if you get one of these two jobs, it might be narrowing your scope a little bit, as opposed to still being the heir apparent. Has anything changed, do you think, in mind of Triple H being that heir apparent? Has his power diminished? And how strange is it that he's in charge of this NXT thing while Bischoff is going to be running this SmackDown show, which is going to have $1 billion contract, $4 million in episode budget?
Yeah, absolutely. You've got Eric Bischoff running the $1 billion show, so to speak, and then you've got, you know, Paul Levesque running the small indie type feel NXT shows, you know, which have historically been a money loser. So, you know, it's very interesting to see the power dynamic between Paul and Vince and how that plays out. And certainly I think the SmackDown role is an enormous responsibility because of the money and the attention on the line. So that's a great role for Eric, and he's got the experience, but for Paul, he's got 205 Live, he's got NXT, and NXT has been his baby, and you can certainly criticize that fairly, but, you know, at some point he stretches himself too thin if he's doing everything. So, you know, you can kind of understand that as well.
Do you anticipate a situation where Paul, Triple H, will no longer be in gorilla position like he has been for, like he is often at SmackDown and Raw?
I think that's a great question. Right now, you've got him heavily involved in that. I mean, him and Ed Koski and Vince are, they're in those final sort of secret creative meetings every week for TV after they get the scripts and do a final approval. So he's still very much involved in creative on WWE main roster TV. Will he be as involved? He might be. I mean, he might be if he continues just to do 205 Live in NXT. But I think you want to watch the power dynamic if he is involved with Eric Bischoff and with Paul Heyman, but especially Eric, because Eric has been in that VP position in a major company before. So the dynamic with him and Eric Bischoff in Triple H will be interesting.
Well, I think we can say with Vince and with Triple H and with Paul Heyman, Eric Bischoff, there will be no backstage politics at all whatsoever. That's a joke.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you look at the history of politics and wrestling, and it's that's probably a whole different conversation. But yeah, that is that should be something to watch as well, right? I mean, if you have a roster under Eric, a roster under Paul, Paul, for example, has heavily praised Seth Rollins in the past. So again, how does that play into as they go into the Fox era? You've got Paul Heyman on Raw. If you have Seth Rollins on Raw, does that impact how Seth Rollins is booked?
That's the other question. Is Paul Heyman working with Eric Bischoff? As we've seen, the wild card, whatever the hell they call it, is just not even being talked about anymore. The brand split's pretty much over. People going back and forth. So they're going to have to work together creatively. They're not going to be autonomous because they're going to have a lot of the same wrestlers going back and forth. Bischoff and Heyman, what do you think? Can they work together?
I think they can. I don't know if Eric Bischoff from 20 years ago could. I think he's matured a lot, you know, in both guys have. So I think they could for sure. But I'm interested to see, as you are, the reaction of the power conflict there with, you know, Heyman's going to want a certain guy and Bischoff is going to want a certain girl. And, you know, there's going to be a lot of back and forth and jockeying for position probably with Vince.
Meltzer had some criticisms talking about this, and I think Brian Alvarez co-signed these criticisms that maybe Heyman and Bischoff are not the right guys generationally, that they are out of touch, perhaps, as older guys tend to be, and no knock on them. And are these two guys, as great as their pedigree is, as great as their history is, as much credibility and as positive histories they have, are these the right guys to know how to creatively make WWE entertaining in 2019?
Well, I think it's fair to at least look at that and consider that possibility. You know, at the same time, both guys, Eric and Paul, they have the ability to do executive TV stuff. So it's not just creative, but they understand how to execute a TV show. And I think that's where they've got a huge level of experience coming in to each show. So certainly you could take a look at that. But if they are good leaders and they surround themselves with the right people, then maybe they aren't just taking their own ideas. Maybe they're listening to other people's ideas and executing those as well. So I think listening to other voices is going to be important, and just using their experience in producing a TV show. I think those are really going to be key to making good shows for Raw and SmackDown.
So my prediction is that Bischoff doesn't last till September, and Heyman leaves probably in January. That's the way I feel. Just knowing these guys and knowing what they're going to require ego-wise and power-wise and creative-wise and knowing a past history. What about that? Bischoff was compartmentalized to being an on-air talent because they realized maybe that wouldn't be the best thing for him to work backstage when he's with WWE before. Paul Heyman is 0 for 2 as far as working with Vince or working with Stephanie in a role where they could communicate and get along and reach a quorum on what to do. What indications do we have that these two guys with Vince are going to be able to make it work?
I don't know that there are any indications that it's going to work or that it's going to be different. I mean, ultimately, you know, they have the ability again to execute a live TV show, but if Vince is micromanaging, if they are, you know, basically having to do a Vince McMahon show, and they're being pitted against each other, as we've seen in the past that he does, then that's not going to work long-term. I think everybody could agree with that. So, you know, the key is going to be letting them do that, surrounding them with the right people, but not letting Vince get too many hands into the pot there.
But Vince McMahon is not going to learn how to not micromanage overnight. He's not going to change 70 years of behavior in one day. I think it's unrealistic to assume that Vince is capable of doing this. And I think the biggest criticism, and most people have a positive view of this change, but the biggest criticism is that Vince can't do it. Vince can't step back. And then he's going to get in Paul's face and change something, or he's going to be disrespectful to Eric and change something, and it's going to lead to conflict. There is no indication that Vince is going to be able to do this historically. What reason can fans possibly cling to that Vince finally gets it, that maybe he needs to let go a little bit?
I don't even know that he gets it per se, other than, you know, the XFL is coming, so maybe eventually he just doesn't have the time. But sometimes Vince McMahon is his own worst enemy. And if he does continue the same behavior he has for, you know, a very long time, and he's trying to do it all, I don't think that's going to work. And I do think we'll end up, as you said, with both gentlemen leaving. He can't do that and have it be successful with them.
Now, you actually reported something that some people online I saw were like, what the hell? But it actually kind of makes sense. A couple days ago or yesterday, you reported there were meetings with Fox because they were concerned about attendance and, attendance and ratings. And when you look at the attendance in particular of the shows in the Pacific Northwest this past weekend, Stomping Grounds, Raw, SmackDown, they were alarmingly low. And, of course, ratings have steadied over the last couple of weeks, but they're still pretty much at an all-time low. Did the impetus to make this change come from, do you think, meetings with Fox, or do you think Vince finally just had enough and saw the writing on the wall?
It's definitely the biggest factor being Fox, is just the company's strategy for that, going into Fox and Fox's feedback. I mean, people have to understand, yes, WWE's TV is not on Fox right now, but you're entirely missing the point if you don't understand that this is a $1 billion TV deal. There's a lot at stake here. There's already a relationship, a constant communication between Fox executives and WWE executives. And Fox knows what they want. And they're going to put in the time and the money to make this successful. But they also, that comes with expectations. And so when you're looking at a product right now and you see Stomping Grounds and it's the lowest attended special event since Starrcade of last year, you know, things like that. That is a concern as you're bringing a TV show onto your network. Forget wrestling. It's a TV show onto your network. So those are the kind of things they're looking at. So you certainly have the Fox aspect, but then you also have AEW as well. They want to be presented as not just, you know, Raw versus SmackDown, which is the best, which is the A show, but they want WWE altogether to be presenting themselves as the A pro wrestling sports entertainment company as AEW gets ready to go on to TNT.
You kind of have some idea about the timeline, right? About when these guys are going to take over. What's the timeline for having Paul and Eric get the reins of these two television shows?
Yeah, definitely. So I was told today by a high-level source that it's looking right now like late July or early August. I mean, ultimately what they're trying to do is ease them into the role, right? They're not They don't want to just throw them into the deep end of the pool. That would be a disaster. So they do recognize that at least. But they want to ease them into the role. They're looking at, obviously, later summertime. And we'll see how that kind of evolves. But I guess the point is the initial stages of this is a good thing, right? Again, they're trying to make all the preparations to make this successful by not just throwing them in. So we'll see how it evolves.
Brad, I'd like to thank you very much for joining us on this special newsworthy breaking news bonus edition of Total Engagement. And why don't you tell everybody where they can find you, how they get a hold of you, where they can listen to you, where they can read you, and where they can send their hate tweets toward you.
Yeah, absolutely. Send all of your death threats and hate tweets to @TheBradShepherd on Twitter, SHEPARD. You can follow all of my work on ProSportsExtra.com and listen to my award-winning podcast, The Oh You Didn't Know Wrestling Show, available wherever podcasts can be heard.
Well, thanks a lot for being on, man, and we're going to follow this story together and love to have you on in the future sometime.
Absolutely. Thanks, Matt.
I think that was a good interview. I think it's always good to have someone to bounce your questions off of, and Brad did have some inside information and a great perspective. I want to thank Brad Shepherd for being here, but hopefully maybe you would have read some of the questions I had on a website. We'll see how things work out. However, I did want to give you my locked in take and my locked in belief of what's going to happen. Now I'm going to have to do the disclaimer. Oh God, you gotta do this. Okay. Fucking let me just try this. Hold on a second. It's disclaimer time. I like the WWE. I want the WWE and every wrestler to be successful. I want Eric Bischoff to be successful. I want Paul Heyman to be successful. I want this to work. I am in their corner rooting for them. This has been disclaimer time. There's a disclaimer. I hope, I predict that this moment, this day, will be remembered for the beginning of a total disaster. An utter and total disaster. And it doesn't have anything to do with Eric Bischoff and his abilities, for sure. It doesn't have anything to do with Paul Heyman and his abilities, for sure. It doesn't really have anything to do with anybody except Vince McMahon. The criticism that has the most teeth is that Vince is not going to be able to let go. He's not going to be able to let go. Can you even ponder the possibility of McMahon and Bischoff talking about a direction SmackDown would go, and Bischoff having an idea, and McMahon having another idea, and Vince going, okay, goddamn it, pal, we'll go with your idea, see how it turns out? That shit ain't going to happen. There's no way he's going to pull back. And I'm pretty sure, I'm just guessing, that Bischoff has had his assurances about what his creative role will be, and Heyman as well, and they've been given indications that things are going to be different. But I think back to the relaunch of ECW, and we hear all these nightmare stories, like, I should have known right away. I should have never done it. It was a bad idea. This seems a lot like that. It seems like there's no way it's going to work. And if I'm going to predict what's going to happen, I will predict, through no fault of his own, Eric Bischoff will probably not make it till September. That's my guess. I just don't think they're ready to let go. I don't think he's ready to let go. I don't think he's ready to do what he needs to do, meaning Vince, to make this work. And Paul is a little bit more comfortable working in that environment, so he might make it till January, February in that environment. I think this was done to show Fox executives, hey, we're serious about changing things. And in Vince's mind, he's probably thinking, hey, I'm going to let go a bit. I'm going to work on the XFL, and everything's going to be fine, and I'm going to trust these guys. These guys have a history of success. It's going to be all good. He's not going to be able to do it. What if you want to change, if you believe the WWE needs to change, Vince has to let go fully. So probably what's going to happen is that within a year, Triple H will be in charge of the WWE. Something else that people don't talk about that's kind of funny is that Jeff Jarrett's there too, right? So Vince McMahon's main competitors over the last 25 years all work for him. Jeff Jarrett, TNA, ECW with Paul Heyman, WCW with Eric Bischoff. It's very Vince. But it's not like Vince is capable of letting go and letting go of his vision and trusting these guys to do the jobs they're hired to do. We've seen no indication of that ever, not once. Not a single time. I think Bischoff is a smart guy, and I think he could tap into what's going on now and have a successful show. Certainly think Paul Heyman can. I think they should. If I were them, the first thing I'd do is put myself on air right now, as soon as possible. McMahon's off air. Heyman is the face of Raw. Bischoff is the face of SmackDown. And the competition begins between those two guys on air. Maybe that's the plan. That would be interesting. And that would certainly give focus to what's going on the air right now. But I can't possibly see any situation where it's not a disaster. Once again, I want it to succeed. I'd love for it to succeed. But I don't see any indication that it's going to succeed. I don't know where Hunter is in all this. But I'm guessing if he was offered that role as the head of Raw, he's probably thinking, well, if I'm offered the head of Raw, I am equal to whoever the head of SmackDown is. I'm one of two people who are direct reporting to Vince, as opposed to running NXT and having this kind of undefined role behind the scenes of all the shows. And he might have seen it as, you know, shrinking down what his power was. So I still think he's in a good position. I don't think they think the future reigns of the company are Eric Bischoff and Paul Heyman. Of course, it's still Triple H, so he's lying back. But one indication you might see is that it's not like Triple H's power is growing, because we know that with running NXT, Ricochet and Gargano and all them were brought up, and Triple H didn't even know about it. And then now these guys are being brought in. I think you can make the argument that short-term his power in the company has shrunk, but long-term, I still think he's the guy, and every indication is he should be the guy. Then again, I don't know what the fuck I'm talking about. I'm a fan, and I am just talking shit and analyzing this crazy story. Please listen to Total Engagement every week on the MLW Radio Network. We might do some bonuses now and then. And make sure to follow at Great Samu, Samu of the Head Shrinkers. Hit me up today and want to throw him some follows. And make sure to get on iTunes. Give us a 5-star review. Still got some haters out there who were, someone just reviewed us on Podbean, just said, fuck Matt Coon. So, you know, maybe we can counterbalance those guys. And to play us out of the show, I got a song for you. But before that, people talked about the song that closed last week's show. That was a song that I made for Arn Anderson and in the Horseman style for his StarCast appearance. The song that's going to close this show is going to be a song I made for Sting, which I thought kind of captured both sides of the Sting character, made for StarCast. Take a listen, see if you like it. We'll see you next week on Total Engagement.